have a little bit of age in order to appreciate that song. I remember as a young child at the Fort Sam Houston Church of Christ that we used to sing that song. And I thought he was talking about the Father. Father alone. But as you grow and you mature and you look at the words of that song, the title of it, you come to understand that it is true. As you grow and develop and mature, Father alone, you'll understand by and by. There are some things in this life at a young age you just don't understand. But the older you get, the more that you develop yourselves in ourselves in Christianity, we begin to understand certain things. And we begin to appreciate Jehovah for who he is. He's not just someone we come see on Sunday, but he is someone that we truly have a desire to fellowship with every day of the week. It is a great relationship. Oftentimes it is met with stumbling blocks because we have the evil one. We have the devil, Satan, who is trying to get in our way, causing distractions, causing us to be a people who seemingly love the Lord, but sometimes act like we don't. I believe it happens to all of us, even on our best day. But I want us to talk about tonight, and haven't had an opportunity to talk to my elders, but I don't want to have one or two of them come at the appropriate time. And this is going to be a night of prayer. And friends, one thing that the Lord's church can't do enough of collectively is pray. Come together and pray with one another. Oh, yes, it is great to hear what thus saith the Lord. But when you consider the first century church, they came together on many occasions for various purposes to go to God in prayer, which is something that all of us must do more of. I truly believe that if our prayer life would enhance, would cause us to be a people who are not as distracted, would cause us to be a people who are more focused, and would cause us to be a people who are more diligent. The one thing that Jesus shows us is that the proper relationship with the Father is key. On many occasions, Jesus, like in Matthew 26, would find himself praying. When he was in the garden, found himself praying. Paul would find himself praying, find himself giving thanks to the Lord for various reasons, for various people. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 17, there the Bible teaches us to pray without ceasing. It's an attitude of prayer. I often grappled with that passage. And the reason why, because when you consider just the wording itself, does it mean that we're always walking around praying? Well, if anything, we always have an attitude of submission toward God. We always have an attitude that we can stop what we're doing and offer up prayer unto our Lord. Kevin Rhodes said this, and it was powerful, I thought. Prayer should be characterized by humility and faith, supported by uprightness. That's a powerful statement. Prayer should be characterized by humility and faith, supported by uprightness. God is a holy God. Those who come before him must be holy. Because he is holy, he wants us to be the same. Jesus, on many occasions, would find himself in prayer. You remember in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 35, he got up early in the morning, went to a high mountain apart, and the Bible said there he prayed, communicated with the Father. You know, there's one thing to communicate over your food. There's another thing to communicate over the spiritual food of the Word. You know, sometimes before I study, I want to pray. I want to ask God for understanding. Sometimes we rely upon our own understanding. At least I do sometimes, and I have to check myself. There's a slogan, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. And that's a true statement. Because if we don't, we'll find ourselves wrecking ourselves. We'll find ourselves relying upon our own understanding. In Matthew chapter 26, let's turn there real quick. As Jesus is in the garden, and it's a very strenuous time in his life, something for us to consider because of what he was about to go through. He wasn't doing this for himself, friends. He was doing this for us, which is something that we always have to keep in mind, starting at verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. He said to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. One version says, I go over yonder and pray. I remember the older generation when I was growing up used to say, they used to say all the time, you go on over yonder. I'm like, why would you say that? That don't even sound like good English. They got it from the King James Version. It's interesting that you mimic what you read. It's interesting that people are mimicking a bunch of things that are not found in the Word of God. He said, you sit here while I go over yonder and pray. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Notice what Jesus said in his prayer. Not my will, but yours. Friends, humility. We see that with Jesus Christ. Faith. We see that with Jesus Christ. Coupled with uprightness. We see that with Jesus Christ. Yeah, Kevin Rose said it right. If our prayer is going to have any substance, it has to be a prayer characterized by humility and faith, supported by uprightness. Jesus Christ fits that bill. Verse 40. Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. There's some things that's going to take place in our lives. There's just nothing we can do about it but gird up and go through it. Friday, I was on my way to Oklahoma, and my mom called me. And my father wanted something in the background. She said, I'll call you back. Well, okay, I didn't think nothing of it. I got to where I needed to be, started talking with a couple of the brethren there, and I looked on Facebook and realized that my aunt passed away. I said, I wonder if that was what Mom wanted to tell me. Well, called her on the way home yesterday, and that's what she wanted to tell me. She just didn't want to talk to me while I was driving. She's very cognizant of that. And I was kind of wishing that you would have just told me. But I had to find out on Facebook. Felt very sad about that. I had to pray about that. You know, one thing that's not easy is the death of a loved one. Well, alone them being sick, but when they pass away, whether they're in the church or outside the church, it's hard. It's something that we think about. You think about Jesus Christ being in the garden, knowing that he was about to take on the sin of the world. It was not an easy time for him. But then you have his disciples, and they're tired. And they're weary. But they're not going through the same thing that Jesus went through. Here's the point. Just because we're going through something doesn't mean that someone who is even in our own home understand what we're going through. Here, they were his disciples. They were close to him. They spent 3.5 years with him. Like, could you not stay with me, stay up with me 1 hour? It was emotional for Jesus. Jesus needed that support, if you will. Even though he got it from his Father, he wanted his disciples to be there for him as well. There's nothing wrong with that. But then notice verse number 43. And he came, found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Sounds like supplication. Saying the same thing. Going to the Father for the same purpose. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." My favorite verse in the Bible, right here, verse 46. "Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Why? Why is that my favorite verse? Because Jesus is about to take on the sin of the world, be separated from his Father for a brief period of time. And the reason why we say that is because he's about to do the will of the Lord. But basically, he's about to look his enemies in his face and he's about to take them on head on. Friends, if anything, our prayer life ought to give us the strength to handle anything head on. That's a difficult thing. Sometimes maybe we run as the people of God, and maybe the people run away from their situation because they don't have God on their side. And as the people of God, we ought to know that if God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So once we get up off our knees in prayer, we face it head on, whatever it may be. Isn't that difficult sometimes? It is. I want us to, Brother Dennis, come forward and lead us in a word of prayer and pray that we will be a people of strength and courage as the people of God here at 9th and Main. Pray for us.
Would you bow with me? Almighty God, our Father, we're so thankful that we can approach you. We're so thankful, Father, for your Son, our Savior, the sacrifice on that cruel, cruel cross of Calvary. We're so thankful, Father, that he was willing to do this. We're so thankful, Father, that he is our Savior, that he is our advocate, and that it is through him, Father, that we can approach you. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful, Father, for this congregation, for each and every soul here. And Father, we pray for each and every soul here. We pray that we will be strong each day of our life, that our courage will be strong, that we will feel your arms around us, and that we will find the strength, Father, to resist Satan, to resist the darts he throws at us, to live as we should, and to be a light to this community. We pray for each one, that we will be wise, that we will be students of your word, that we will have understanding. We know, Father, that we are not perfect, and we plead for your mercy. Help us, Father, to always have the courage to turn from sin and seek you out. Help us, Father, to be an encouragement to one another, to show our love to one another. Help us, Father, to have unity, and to always, Father, be sound in your doctrine. Thank you, Father, for all your blessings. Thank you for holding us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, we can never go to God in prayer collectively enough. In Acts chapter 4, verses 24 through 31, we have the church facing governmental opposition. And sometimes laws are passed that hinder the Lord's people, that cause us to have to readjust, if you will. In Acts chapter 4, starting in verse number 23, notice what your Bible says. "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage," quoting from Psalm 2, "and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For of a truth against thy holy one, thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hands and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Now let's stop there for a second. Shouldn't that be the prayer of every member for the leadership of this congregation, the ministers of this congregation, the teachers of this congregation, that we are praying for our leaders, praying for the ministers here, that they'll be bold people, not just in the pulpit, but in the community? Because friends, there's one thing to be bold amongst us. There's another thing to be bold amongst those who are outside, who are trying to go against the will of God. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, even on social media, there is a sense of boldness that we have to have. There is a sense of boldness that the people of God must have in upholding uprightness. If sin continues to go on, if lawless men continue to go on, and those of us who are righteous say nothing, do nothing, really what we're doing is advocating the evil. Reminded of what one man said at one time, that when evil men triumph, it's because good men say nothing. And friends, we cannot sit when evil is going on around us and say nothing. We have to stand up. We have to be a people because of moral uprightness. You know, and I was thinking about this just the other day. Myself as a minister, do I have an obligation to stand up against sin when it has confronted me? When someone is involved in some type of injustice, should I stand up for those individuals? The answer is yes. Why? Because when sin takes place, when people are mistreated, somebody has to stand up for them. Should it not be one of us? Shouldn't it be that we as the people of God, we stand up for what is right? The answer is yes. But notice what these particular individuals did. Verse 30. He says, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy child, holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. The point I want to make here is that the apostles were praying for boldness. We as the people of God must pray for boldness. We ought to be praying for every member that they stand bold in the gospel, stand bold in the truth, that they'll be a thankful people, that they're doing the will of God. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, we notice that the apostle Paul there is dealing with thanksgiving and supplication. We ought to be a thankful people. We go to God in prayer, not just for the things that we have a desire of, not even just for those things that's going to enhance the kingdom of God, but we go to God in prayer just saying thank you. Oh, it's a beautiful thing when you can go to the throne of God and just tell God, thank you for what you have already done. If God did nothing else for the people of God, God has already done enough. But praise be to God that he wants us to pray to him. Notice verse number 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Notice the attitude. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God wants us to be a people who supplicate, who go to him in prayer, who is going to him with the same thing over and over and over again. Why? It shows our dependence upon him, but also to go to him thanking him. Thanking him. One thing about a thankful heart is a heart that is willing to serve. And we have to teach our young ones, say thank you. Be thankful. Be thankful for the measure of health that you have. Be thankful for the children that you have. Be thankful for the parents that you have. Be thankful for the congregation you attend. Be thankful. I'm going to ask Brother Popejoy to come forward and lead us in a word of prayer of thanksgiving to our God. Brother Popejoy.
Almighty God and kind Father, as we come before Thee at this time, we do recognize Thee as an awesome God, mighty, and we realize, our Heavenly Father, that life itself is within Thy hands. We thank Thee, our Heavenly Father, for the wonderful blessings that You have so bestowed upon us as Thy children. We realize that gratitude, our Heavenly Father, comes from at least two items. Number one, a knowledge, and number two, a remembrance of those things that we know. We ask our Heavenly Father that we would always be instructed in Thy holy will. We're thankful for Mike and our other teachers here who are able to impart the Word of God to us, that they are able to give us instruction from Thy Word, and that we might be able to remember those things so that we can be grateful for the blessings that You have given to us, for the kindness, the generosity, the sweet fellowship that we have one with another. We ask that You would receive our gratitude for those things. Maybe more so than anything else, our Heavenly Father, I pray at this time that as Ezekiel closed his book with the words, "The Lord is there," may we always remember that You will be with us through all the difficult times and through all of the good times, and that You are our God, our shield, and our defender. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you. One more thought. When we consider our spiritual condition, turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. I'm going to say a few things, and then I'm going to ask Brother Don to lead us in a word of prayer. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, one thing that we have to always keep in mind is our spiritual condition. Now, one thing about our spiritual condition, now hear me well, if you're not careful, it can change from one day to another. Did y'all hear that? It's just like someone being healthy one day and on their deathbed the next. Our spiritual condition can be great one week, and the next week we can find ourselves off the deep end. Which means that we have to guard our thoughts. Which means that we have to watch our lives, and we have to take serious eternal life. The more I thought about this, I was thinking about this on the way home last night, and I was thinking, Christianity is no joke. This is real. People are losing their lives every single day, and I'm not talking about their physical lives, I'm talking about their spiritual lives. I was telling Evelyn on the way here, I said, Satan is so crafty and so evil that he can rip our lives away from us and keep us alive. What do I mean by that? We get so distracted on the things of this world that we focus on those things and we leave God out, and the next thing you know, we're off to the races. So here we find the Apostle Paul. Notice what he says in Colossians 1. And verse number 9, this is Paul's prayer here. He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." Notice the gems we're about to look at in these particular passages. "And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will." First gem right there. He prayed that they be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Another one, verse 10. "In order that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." That's another gem. That should be our prayer. My prayer every morning and my prayer before I go to bed every night, Father, help me to be pleasing unto you today. Help me to be pleasing unto you if I wake up in the morning, being fruitful in every good work. If you're taking notes, you can put in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 4. You know why Jesus was raised from the dead? For us to be fruitful unto God. Here, Paul is telling them that he's praying for them that they may be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I don't know about you, Brother Braswell, but sometimes I get on myself because it doesn't seem like I'm learning enough fast enough. We ought to be praying to God that we can learn more and have a greater understanding of His will. Notice verse 11. Strengthen with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long suffering. Notice the attitude with joyfulness. Friends, these are things that we ought to be praying for. The radio station is nice. We're thankful for that. The building that we worship in is nice. The cars that we have, the homes that we have, the health that we have, they're great. But these, they trump those things. Why? Because when it's all said and done, friends, all of this is going to burn up. There's going to be something that's going to remain throughout eternity, and these are the characteristics that God has given us. These are the things that we ought to pray for. We pray for things that's going to burn up. Notice verse 12, another gem, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, made us right to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us, notice, from the power of darkness. Isn't this another thing that we ought to be very thankful for? That God delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. What a blessing. What a blessing to know that all of my sins have been washed away. If God did nothing else for me, He's done enough. I'm on my way to heaven and oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Satan has done a marvelous job on some people. Let it not be us. Let us stay prayerful and mindful of what's important. And when we do this, we will obtain that strength that we need. In James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, then I'll allow Brother Don Cheek to come and offer our last prayer. In James chapter 1, starting at verse number 6. It's in the context of asking God for wisdom. Friends, that's the most important thing in this life. As Proverbs 4 and verse 7 teaches us, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, in all thy getting, get an understanding. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, but let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. James, what are you saying? He's saying that if you ask God for wisdom, don't waver in it. Know He's going to give it to you. And friends, we can know that when we go to the Word of God, because wisdom comes forth from above, James chapter 3, and when we obtain that wisdom, it teaches us how to live this life. So, notice what he says. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, this verse scares me. Let's hold the phone for a second. This verse scares me. Why? Because if we're not careful, it's not hard to become a double-minded person. This is something that we constantly have to be praying for. Father, help me to be an honest individual so I'm not double-minded. I can't remember who it was, either Pope Joy or somebody. We was talking about one of the things that Jesus really condemned was hypocrisy. And one thing about hypocrisy, what it does is it causes us to be one person here and another person there. That's double-minded. That's schizophrenia. We send people to a psychiatrist for that. And here God is teaching us a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Well, hold on. What does God want us to be? God wants us to be a stable individual. based upon His wisdom, based upon His understanding, based upon His word. So I'm going to ask Brother Cheat to come, and he's going to offer our last prayer, that we'll be a people who ask God for wisdom so we can be stable. You know, if our finances are not stable, if our health is unstable, if everything around us is unstable, yet our spirituality is stable, friends, we win. We win. We win. Jesus said, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What would a man give in exchange for a soul? We want to be stable individuals, and stability is in spirituality. Pray for us.
Let us pray. Almighty God, righteous Heavenly Father, we come before Thy throne of grace, Lord, with gratitude and gratefulness in our hearts. We thank Thee, Lord, for all that You do for us. We thank Thee for this congregation and the fellowship that we share. We thank You, Lord, for the lessons we receive here. Lord, we pray as we go out into the world that You will be with us, You will guide us and guard us in Thy way. We thank You, Lord. We pray that we will humble ourselves, that we will place by ourselves in Your service. We pray, Lord, for the wisdom that we will need. We pray for the alertness we need to recognize our temptations and the strength that we need to face those temptations. We pray always, Lord, that we focus on Your word, that we focus on Your mission, that we'll do Your work here on earth. As we go out into the world, Lord, let us remember always that You are with us, and let us remember always that we have the fellowship here to back us up and to keep us on the true and rightful path. Lord, we pray these many things in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Encourage us to be a people of prayer, to go to God as often as we can, and not just on special occasions. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to challenge yourself in obeying the gospel, leaving sin, and being translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. By believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, by repenting of sin and confessing Jesus Christ to be Lord and being buried in water for the remission of your sins. But maybe a child of God and you haven't been praying. Maybe a child of God and you find yourself in sin. Maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been asking God for wisdom. You've been walking according to your own understanding. Let us reconsider those things. Let us do the will of God. For friends, when it's all said and done, this is the only thing that matters. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. To hear anything else is a life that was wasted. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.